Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. Let me see what time we have. It's 8 o'clock. I will try to be done by 9 o'clock, and however far we get is how far we'll get. All right? Is that a deal?
Okay.
Okay. So thank you for being here. What I want to do today is to introduce the class on Acts of the Apostles, a deep dive. And basically the idea here is today I'm going to introduce it. To what extent we have time left beyond that, I'll do some talking about chapter 1. But we may or may not get through chapter 1 today. We'll see how that goes. But right now I wanted to have introductions. And I mean, I think you all know me, but maybe you don't. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, there's one of us named Mike. We look alike. But the other guy looks like me. But no, we basically, what I wanted to do is to tell you a little bit about my background in college. Believe it or not, I went to college. I graduated in 76. So 24 plus 18, 34, 42 years ago. Well, I know that because I've been a Christian now for 42 years. So anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about that, and then I'll kind of go around and get a, I don't know if we'll have time for everybody, but you know, a representative sample of you guys as to kind of what are you studying and how long you've been a disciple and are you studying the Bible to become a disciple or whatever your situation is. And basically, just to try to you know, understand where you are at, and you guys understand where I'm at, and why and part of what we'll do today is talk about why this is important, what we're doing. So with that, I have on here my contact information, and my arm. All right, so laser pointers don't work on the screen. That's okay. I'm still impressed. So what I want to do is to, and Sherry's collected your contact information, but if you would humor me and send me, let me see, or do y'all do email? Is that a thing anymore? Do y'all do email?
Yes.
I prefer email because my email clients collect the information better than text messages. If y'all could email me, what I want to do is to turn around. Yeah, I'm sure you have technologies that I have never even thought about. But email I've used for 20 years or more, 30. But anyway, the idea here is if you can send me your email, I will respond with an invitation to a group, which will be this class. Is that? Does everybody here do group me?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody here not do group me? I think everybody does group me. So we might have one or two people joining us who may or may not. We'll deal with that. But I'll be able to send out stuff. So for example, if by some family emergency or critical, you know, you found yourself in a hospital or something and you couldn't get here for 7:30, they wouldn't let you out of your hospital bed to come here, then I can send you notes from the class. I can send you the scripture memory. And we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But so it's a way to communicate that, and you can communicate back, you know, your questions or whatever. So it's, you know, professors are supposed to give out their contact information. And it's going to be through GroupMe, but you've got this too. So a little bit about me. I was an engineering student at NC State University in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I was not a disciple through most of my undergraduate years. Well, all the way up till April, I was graduating in May. Actually, I started coming to church in about March. So a guy came to my, you know, they were having what they called soul talks on campus. Have you ever heard of soul talks? Bible talks. They're just a 70s name for Bible talks. But anyway, I was invited out to soul talks. But I played in a lot of different bands. I was a trumpet player. And so I always had a rehearsal or a performance or something that was my ready excuse to not go to a soul talk. I actually had a a suite mate who went to one and came back and says, don't ever go to one of those soul talks. Those people take the Bible literally. And I remember asking him and says, I don't see anything wrong with that. But I didn't turn around and go to it. And of course, my life didn't anywhere close to line up with the Bible at that point. But finally, towards the end of my senior year, I had started interviewing for jobs, and I knew I was going to get out and get a real job, and I was not going to be a college student anymore. And I said, I'm going to need to clean up my life. You know, I'm not going to be able to hold down a job and have a respectable life, and you know, marry a respectable person and have respectable kids if I keep doing crazy stuff I've been doing. So I decided in my mind, I'm going to find a church. I had actually attempted to find a church a couple of times, but like one time it was like the time had just changed, you know, from daylight savings time to regular. Actually, it's spring forward. Okay, so it was in the spring. And so I showed up early for church and there was nobody there. And so I said, oh, well, I had their chance. So this was just at some, you know, it was just whatever church was on the corner of that street. But then somebody came around to my dorm room after that and invited me to a soul talk. And I had my ready excuse. I had a rehearsal that night. I couldn't go. But they said, you know, but we're having a student supper. We had Sunday night services. And so I said, okay, I'll, a student supper, free food. I did say I was looking for a church. They're willing to feed me. I'll go. You know? And so, you know, free food, that's a good thing. So I went, and I was totally blown away by what happened because it was, at that point in time, that campus ministry was well over 100 students. And they had to run them out of the church building at the end so they could lock it up because they were just hanging around, fellowshipping, talking about spiritual stuff. It wasn't just all talking about sports teams and what's going on in the news and that kind of stuff. So in my mind, I said I was looking for a church. I said, when I saw this, I said, you know, I've never seen anything like this before. If I'm ever going to try to be serious about being a Christian, I want to do it here. And so in my mind, I turned myself in after one night. But it took me a while to you know, bring all those folks that were bringing me to church to that point. But so I ended up in about 4 weeks getting baptized there. And this was right at the end of my senior year. Mm-hmm. So I was baptized April 19th, 1976. And I decided then that I was going to stay there, the campus ministry, for another year. So I had to find a way to get into college to stay there and get some place because I wasn't going to get a job yet. So ended up getting into grad school for economics. So it was something that was easy for an electrical engineer to get a master's in economics. You know, so. And so my grad school was economics, and I stayed there for a year. And basically from that May through the second summer, so it was a year and a couple of months, 3 months, and so during that period of time, that was my campus ministry experience, and it really did change my life. I mean, in all kinds of different ways. But one of the things we did during that campus ministry year was we had Acts class, and the folks who had been a Christian for a year or more were into what they called the Romans class. And then there were some other people. They had a spiritual training program for leaders and all that kind of stuff. They had all this curriculum in the church for the Christians, for the campus students. And but what we did in the Acts class was pretty similar to what I wanted to give to you guys. And it became the foundation for my Christian life moving forward because I got deep roots in the scriptures. I memorized a ton of scriptures. I got taught a lot about the church, about doctrine, about why do we do things the way we do them? Why are we different from this other group on certain subjects? You know, and so it was and it was all from the Bible. And so what that did for me was help me And I have drawn on that for the 42 years I've been a Christian. So here I am looking at a room full of people. Most of you guys have most of that, 42 years or more ahead of you, right? If you don't walk in front of any Mack trucks and you behave yourself, God blesses you with that time. 42 years from now, I hope some of you guys will be standing in front of a group of campus students or young Christians and passing on the things like this. I think this is what God wants me to do with myself at this point in my life. But I think that we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about that. But that's kind of my story from a campus ministry situation. Sherry, did you want to add anything about yours?
Let's see. I was a junior. I wasn't a...
She was baptized about a year and a half before I was.
Yeah. And my first 2 years in college were pretty much, a mess. and then I ended up with a roommate who just happened to go to the Church of Christ. But, okay. So over the semester before I became a Christian, a girl gave me a couple of books and kept trying to get me to come to their, I'm trying to think what it was, Campus Crusade Bible Studies. And I wouldn't go, and I kind of ducked and, ran. I didn't want anything to do with it. But she gave me a couple of books to read over the summer. And I started thinking about my life, and I really needed to read the Bible. Started reading it, started in Genesis, didn't know what I was reading King James, didn't understand it. But the couple of books that she gave me actually changed my life. One of them was called God's Smuggler, and it was talking about this guy that was smuggling Bibles into Iron Curtain countries. Mm-hmm. You've read it before?
No.
Okay. And it was like, wow, if these people really want to read the Bible, there must be something in here. I really need to be reading it. So that kind of got me reading it. And the other book was about prayer and just how important. I mean, it's pretty much that scripture that says, where two or more of you are gathered, I am there with you. So it's like, all right, well, I need to pray with somebody, but who? So when I even prayed, tried to do that, pray Jesus into your heart kind of thing. And because that was in the little Bible, the little Gideon's Bible I had. And so I went back to school in the fall, and my roommate happened to go to the church, invited me to church. God set it all up. And so anyway, I started studying the Bible, and was baptized that fall.
So yeah, she was one of the first people converted when Wyndham Shaw came there and they started the campus ministry. That first year he came there, he goes into the men's business meeting, and somebody, they're just kind of talking to the new campus minister, in essence, says, what kind of goals do you have for the campus ministry here? And he says, well, I'd like to see us baptize 100 people this year. And somebody in the room laughed. And he was so mad. He said, we're going to baptize 100 people here if it kills me. And they did. And she was one of the first ones. I was part of the group in the next year. But that was so you had a whole lot of young Christians there. And it was really important to be teaching the Bible while they were doing that.
And some of them may know Sam Powell. He was...
You ever heard of Sam Powell? Anybody here know Sam Powell, who he is?
Somebody
knows who he is. Okay.
He
leads the New York church.
Yep.
New York
City. Oh,
okay. He was... my first soul talk was in his dorm room. That was back in the day. Sam Powell was a radical. We had this dorm, had this long, long hall, probably 20 doors on either side of the hall. And he was in the middle of that hall. He would, on Saturday morning, open his door up and pray, get on his knees by his bed and pray in a voice he could hear from one end of that hall to the other. And he called names. And there were things written on bathroom walls about him. But he was radical. Which is a good thing, in a godly way. So anyway, so that's a little bit about us. So let me get a sampling. Who wants to share? I probably don't have time for everybody to share as much as we did. I'm sorry, we're a little greedy. But if you give us a short thing about how long you've been a Christian, what are you studying here, and maybe what do you hope to get out of a class like this? Who wants to help us out there? Yes, sir.
Why not? So my name is Vernon. My last name is Vernon. You guys got my last name. And I've been a disciple actually since not this June, but last June.
Okay.
And what I'd like to get out of this class is just a higher understanding of Acts. I'm not going to lie. When I first heard the class, I wasn't really excited about sitting in the class on a Friday to learn about a book. But Jesus led me here, to be honest, because I took a nap. And then I woke up like 15 minutes before the time I was supposed to be here. Then I drove over to the actual church because I was so disorganized in my head and drove back over here. But yeah, just to get a better understanding of Acts, because that's about the church, is it not?
Yes, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so that's what I'd like to get.
Okay.
That's it.
Who else? Yes, Pete.
Hi, I'm Dean. I was actually baptized May of 2013.
Okay.
So, and I think, oh, I'm studying to be a nurse. I think, hopefully, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think I just want to just connect deeper to, like, the word and, like, what it says. I think, like, most of the times we read and it's, like, pretty shallow. But I think I'm excited to, like, dig deeper.
Good. Okay. Yes, sir.
I'm Blake, exercise science major. This October 31st, I've been a disciple for 3 years. I just did the Acts class for campus, talking about, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just kind of excited to go deeper, and this, I just love the Acts because it just is, you know, the biblical version of how the early church really began, you know, in terms of you can read plenty of other books about, you know, founding fathers and stuff, but so it's pretty cool thing to dive into, so.
Yeah, where we came from. Okay, yes, Raph.
My name is Raphael. Yeah. I've been in the kingdom since I was 8 years old, but I've yet to be a disciple. I'm studying now, and I really love the book of Acts, and it is an amazing book. There's so many great stories and conversions, and it's a powerful book to me personally. A brother that I'm studying with told me that he wanted it would be best if I could start to memorize scriptures. And the biggest thing with me is that during my daily routine and doing the ins and outs of life, I can't remember the scriptures. I can't call on God and remember the scriptures to help me through the situation.
Yeah.
So this would help me. And when, again, like everyone else said, Acts is, I'm in it. I want to know. I want to know. I want to dig deep.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Appreciate that. Okay, I'll take one more if there is one. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Kess, and I've been a disciple almost 2 years, and I went to the Inspire conference.
Inspire.
Yeah, for the singles, and I just became inspired to do mission trips abroad. So then when I read that you were doing this class, I was like, okay, this is what I've been waiting for, something to help me with that foundation to have confidence and, you know, going out to reaching out to people. And so that's why I'm
that's
here.
Great. You know, we've got some good friends that are leading the church in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all know Leslie and Danny Cadet. Well, they've been after me ever since they went there to go down there. But what they want me to do is not build houses or go to orphanages or all the stuff that most people go to Haiti to do. They want me to go there and teach the Bible.
Right.
And so we did that this past February, and we're planning to do it again in January.
Great.
They are hungry.
I want to go.
That. They are hungry for that. So, and you know, it's just not that hard to go to Haiti.
Yeah.
So, and they,
maybe
you know,
I will.
They don't speak our language, but Leslie is an accomplished translator. We've done that once, and we're gearing up to do it again. So, you know, it's a, you know, having a biblical foundation gives you something to deliver when you get there.
That's right.
So, great. All right. Well, let's go ahead and see what's on these next few slides. We're going to talk about the Acts of the Apostles, and the question is, why would we want to study a book like Acts? Okay, why on Friday night especially, right, Vern? Why would we want to do that? Now, what I'm going to do, you guys, you've all seen my slide presentations at church, and you notice that this one is a little different. It has a blue outline around the scripture box, right? Uh-huh. That's a clue. The blue outline means this is going to be one of your memory verses, right? So I'm going to start this one out. You might as well take these down. They're coming. I'll give it to you at the end also. But this is one of your scriptures that will be from memory. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." When I started talking about memory verses at home, my 9-year-old granddaughter quoted this verse and says, "I know a verse," and she quoted this verse verbatim.
The one that I had in my class?
Probably. No, that's Annabelle.
Oh, that's Annabelle.
This is Evelyn. Annabelle. She's 9.
Annabelle's not too far behind me.
Almost 10. But so anyway, why do you think I would want to use this scripture as part of the answer to why are we studying Acts? Awesome.
Because all scripture is God-breathed, and it's going to be used for all those things.
Okay.
So we would use it.
It's useful, right? And it comes from God. God-breathed. What do you think he means by God-breathed? What are some other translations that you might have?
He said it. Came from his lips.
Came from his lips. Sherry?
One of them says inspired.
Inspired by God. Mm-hmm. All scripture is inspired by God. And it's useful for... So, what should we be doing with scriptures? Well, here's four things we ought to be doing with them, right? Teaching. I'm doing some of that right now. You can do that one-on-one with people. Rebuking. Okay, we don't particularly like to do that. We don't like to have it done to us, but that's one of the uses of Scripture. And it's one of the things that God gave it to us for. It's useful for that. Correcting. What's the difference in rebuking and correcting?
It's like, correcting is like, say a ship goes off course just a little bit, it's correcting.
Yeah.
It's not like extreme. But like rebuke, that ship's been going off course for a long time.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not a long time, but far away from where it should be. And it's like a strict, like, get back over here now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, anything else?
Yeah, I feel like correcting is more like a warning. Like, hey, I noticed this in you, and, that's not cool. But, like, a rebuke is all like, look, if you don't change this right now, I didn't finish that sentence, but hopefully, does that make sense?
Okay.
That makes sense.
Vern?
I got you.
Cool.
I got you.
Yeah, when I hear rebuke, it's a strong word, and it's really directly like speaking against evil, using the scriptures or, what God's rule or commandments are. So if you're doing something sinful, and I see it, and we both know it's sinful, I need to address it right on the spot.
I think y'all have it pretty well surrounded. The way I look at it is, correcting is you're kind of unaware of something. You just need somebody to give you the information and put you onto the right track. Rebuking is you kind of don't care, and they're trying to get you to the point where you do care. Right? So anyway, this is another way of looking at it. But yeah, it's good for both of those things. And then it talks about training in righteousness. Maybe training is related to all of the above in some ways, but maybe most closely related to teaching. What's the difference in teaching and training?
Training is actual exercising it. And then teaching is like what you're doing right now, filling us with information, we're absorbing it. And then when we leave, we'll start training.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good point. Yeah. What else?
Training is intentionally repetitive for a certain outcome.
Right.
Whereas teaching, you can go as wherever it goes.
Yeah. Teaching, you do some teaching before you do some training, right? Here's what we're going to do, and here's why we're going to do it. That's teaching. But then doing it, and doing it again, and doing it again, the repetitive, right? And doing it until it's part of you, it's habit, it's the way you look at the world. Okay? So that's what scriptures are for, and you need those things in order to be thoroughly equipped for example, for going on a mission trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good work, and it would equip you for that. So, okay, so this is a memory verse. All right? Psalm 119:11. This is another memory verse. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So why would that be part of why we would study this?
It helps with sinning.
Help us to avoid sin. Mm-hmm. Okay. To put the word in our heart. Okay. Hidden it in your heart. I think that suggests memorizing some scripture, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that happens when you memorize scripture is you think about the words. You don't overlook a word because you have to memorize all the words, right? And after a while you start figuring out, well, why is that word there? And I would have never noticed that if I hadn't memorized this verse. But when you memorize it, you notice it and you think about it. So you're talking about a deeper dive? Memorizing that verse is a deeper dive into that verse. Okay, that's a great step to take to understand this word, this verse better. But this is what David said, King David, what he said about God's word. And he loved God. He wanted to please God. He was a man after God's own heart. But he did this so that he might not sin against God. So he hid God's word. The king memorized scripture. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Okay, Hosea 4:6. Somebody read that one for me. Say my voice.
My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children.
Okay. That one's a little bit scary, isn't it? How much do y'all know about Hosea? Do y'all know anything about the book of Hosea? Who can tell me something about the book of Hosea? Yes, James.
It's like an analogy with him and his wife, Gomer.
Yeah.
What is Hosea addressing?
He's addressing the sin of how the Israel people go away from God knowingly.
So Hosea was the prophet that prophesied to the northern kingdom, Israel, just before the Assyrians came in and took him into captivity. Okay, several kings worth of years that Hosea was the prophet. And so he's talking to people that have abandoned God. They were, you know, How much do y'all know about the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom? About Israel and Judah. Why were there two kingdoms of Jews? Okay. You ever heard of...
Is that where the Gentiles come from?
Well, no. Here's something to think about. All scripture is inspired by God, right? Old Testament and New Testament. I need to understand where this stuff comes from. So David was a great king. His son Solomon was a great king to an extent, but then he went off and, you know, sort of dabbled in some idolatry. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, God said, I'm going to tear part of the kingdom away from him. And he divided the kingdom. Part of it went to Rehoboam, which was Solomon's son. Part of it went to Jeroboam, who was this other dynamic leader who turned out to not be spiritual at all. And Jeroboam took the northern kingdom, and from the very beginning, they went off after idolatry. And they stayed there. There was never a good king in the northern kingdom.
You did this class in Bible talk.
Yeah.
Yep. So the idea was that at the end of that series of kings of the northern kingdom, God had decided, I'm going to destroy you. And he's giving them several different kings over, I don't know the number of years, but, you know, a lot of years during Hosea's life, most of his life. He was prophesying to them about what God's getting ready to do, and you need to repent, and they didn't. All right, so that's the context of this verse. He says, my people are destroyed because of what?
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. So why would that have anything to do with us?
Memorizing the scriptures, don't we know it? Putting it close to our heart.
And not just memorizing scripture, that's certainly a part of it, but knowing, like I just described to you, the context of this verse. Mm-hmm. So that I'm not just plucking out a verse that has an interesting phrase in it, but I know what's happening around it, who's he saying it to, and what was their situation. And it's like, I need, that's knowledge that helps me understand the scripture, right? So we're not going to be studying all the kings of Egypt and of Israel and all of that in this class. But I hope that I can whet your appetite to try to want to know the Bible, the whole Bible. Okay, like Sherry said, there's people in the world that risk their lives to get a copy of the Bible. I mean, we've all got copies of the Bible. And how many of us have actually read it? You know, how many of us know what's in it? Yeah, how many of us know what Hosea is about? Why is he talking? What's he talking about? So that's the point. But beyond that, he says, my people are destroyed because they don't know. Right? I certainly don't want you guys to be destroyed because you don't know. Okay? He says, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. So who's he really talking to here?
The Israelites?
The priests, right? Mm-hmm. He's talking about the priests, but he's saying, you guys have rejected knowledge. Okay, and so you're not following the law. You don't know the law that I gave to Moses. You don't know it. You're not following it. You're not teaching it. And so because you've rejected all of that as being anything you have any concern for, I'm going to reject you as my priest. Now, I've been a Christian for 42 years. I've been taught a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things. If I don't pass that on to somebody, then am I doing what these guys did? Right? I need to be passing that on. I need to be, what God wants is the shepherds of his people or the teachers of his people to do is to pass on that knowledge. And so what I'm hoping is I'll pass it on to you. It'll keep you faithful. You'll have deep roots. You'll be grounded in the scriptures. And one day, 42 years from now, you'll be standing in front of a class passing it on. And maybe lots of times in between now and then. So anyway, because you've rejected knowledge, I've rejected you as my priest. Now, how about this last part? Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. What's that about? Vern?
Generational curses. There's many times in the Old Testament, he said it to many kingdoms, many groups of Israelites that went against everything and just rebelled, worshiping Baal and all that stuff, and he would curse them and like four generations of the children. Yeah. So they would be, their children would be plagued with their struggles.
Right. But that's true. But there's a deeper truth, I think, in here too. Because if these priests are not teaching the knowledge, what's going to happen to the next generation? They're not going to know it. They're not going to follow it. And they're going to be cursed too. Right? If they were to repent, they were to find the book of the law and learn it, like happened later on, Josiah. In the southern kingdom, God would forgive and would honor that. But he says, because you're not teaching the next generation, you're not teaching your children, you're not teaching the people you ought to be teaching, then they are victims of your own neglect, right? Mm-hmm. So it's something that's important, but it also has consequences for the children, doesn't it? So we need to teach it. So that's why we're doing this. Okay, Hosea 4:6. It's a memory verse. All right. 2 Timothy 2:15. Who wants to be a reader here? Okay.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Okay. So when you read this verse, he talks about doing your best to be this kind of a person, right? So it seems like there's some effort involved in this, right? You need to work at it. You have to learn some things. You have to learn how to do some things. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. God approves of people who do it one way and doesn't approve of people who do it another way, right? So we need to learn how to do it well. One who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So correctly handling the word of truth. is important. We need to know, there was a period of time when I saw a lot of people around me, their concept of studying the Bible was they'd read it until they found a cool verse. And suddenly, oh, that was a cool verse. And they say, okay, now I got something out of my quiet time. Okay. But they had no concept of the context or the meaning of the verse. Who was it talking to? What was their situation? Why does this apply to them? And how does that therefore apply to me? A lot of things being taken out of context. You know, they take a verse out. It just sounds really cool. I like that verse. But we don't really understand what's going on around it. And correctly handling the Word of Truth. You know, you go out there, if you visited all the different church buildings in Gwinnett County and listen to what's being taught there, they don't all say the same things, do they? There's different things being taught. That can't all be correct, right? So it matters. It does matter if you correct whether or not you correctly handle the Word of Truth. So that's a memory verse. Okay, how about that one? Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Well, that's where Jesus is quoting.
Yeah.
This is in Matthew 4:4. So, it's in red letters. You know, that's a clue. But you're right. So the question here is, all right, first off, who was Jesus talking to here? Satan. Okay, what was the situation?
Temptation. 40 days, 40 nights.
Okay, he was 40 days in the wilderness. He was fasting.
Satan was saying, I could give you what you want.
Yeah. Satan was trying testing Jesus to see if he could get into sin. Okay. And how did Jesus answer that temptation?
With scripture.
Mm-hmm. Jesus had the scripture memorized, right? Of course, he probably had the whole Bible memorized, the creation of the world memorized. But he had the scripture memorized, and he went to the same thing that you and I can go to, didn't he? Okay, it's recorded, so we'll know what to go to. Okay, every word that comes from the mouth of God. And of course, it doesn't say just the cool verses, right? We need to understand the whole picture. So, all right, memory verse. All right, so those are some reasons, but those are reasons why you study the Bible in general, right? Why would I study the Bible? Why would I want to know it better? Why would I memorize parts of it? But why would I study Acts, the book of Acts, particularly to understand the Christian church? So basically, the book of Acts tells you about the early church. It tells you from the point in time when Jesus went up into heaven until chapter 28 is probably in the early 60s, maybe 61, 62. From 33 to 62, it's almost 30 years of church history. And it tells you kind of how the church was established, how they started churches, and how they did things. So it talks about, some people have said the Acts of the Apostles, the title of Acts of the Apostles is not really in the original manuscripts, right? Did y'all know that? That's a name that the church later on gave to this book. But some people have said it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because it does, basically everything done there was prompted by the Holy Spirit. And you see the Holy Spirit all over the place in there. It talks about, basically, the church was established by the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about in the Last Supper and in some of the last times he had with the disciples, I will send you my Spirit. And don't worry about what you're going to say when you get arrested because it'll be given to you. And all these kinds of things to the apostles. Okay, it was established through the apostles and the prophets, right? So, we kind of learn, if we want to know how they set up the church, how they did things, was directed by the Holy Spirit. And so when we see how they did it, it seems pretty important that we would try to do it in a similar way, right? Because that's what the Holy Spirit, that's why this book is written, so we can see what was done. So some of the things we can learn there, you know, you can see them here. Teaching and preaching, we see what was taught. We see the messages that they taught. We see conversions. There's lots of conversions. We can look at the thing, you know, how did a conversion happen? What did it look like? We talk about church organization. What are elders? What are evangelists? What are, you know, what are the different roles? What are deacons? You know, what are the different roles in the church? Benevolence. We see how, what are some of the things the church did to take care of people, especially people inside the church? And other things, you know, you could probably add more things to the list. But those, you find out what the church was all about then, and that ought to be what we're all about now, right? So that's why we want to study Acts. We'll learn as we go through Acts. We're gonna not just read the book of Acts. We will from time to time say, okay, here's a subject area. Let's go off and look at what some of the letters that were written during that 30-year period. How they further explain some of the things that we see in Acts. So we'll be learning more about what are elders, what are evangelists. You know, we'll learn, you know, what's the meaning of baptism. You know, tell me more about the Holy Spirit. You know, what's that mean for me? So we'll be looking at some of those things. Okay. I need a reader again.
I'll do it. Both of them or just one?
Read that. Yeah, both.
Okay. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock.
Okay, and who said this?
Jesus.
And who was he talking to?
Sermon on the Mount.
So he's talking to a crowd of people as he's giving a sermon off the side of a mountain. But it's a Jewish audience, right? But he's telling them that he went through, this is in chapter 7, he's been talking for, you know, since the beginning of chapter 5, is here's how I want you to live. Okay, here's the standards. Here's what I'm calling you to do. And then at the end he says, if you practice this stuff, you're like a person who built his house on the rock. Okay? And tell me a little bit about that. How does that analogy work? What's the rock? What's the, you know, the house? What's he talking about?
I guess the scriptures that we read, reading the word, actually, and using that to kind of like guide our life instead of like living our life and then reading the word and like trying to take little bits and pieces when it's convenient, whatever, you know. Yeah. But trying to take his teachings and apply it to our life. When you have that, the house foundation, like there was somebody at work that things were going crazy and stuff like that, and they kind of like folded. You ever heard of somebody that's spineless?
Yeah.
The term?
Yeah.
And what I was telling to the other co-worker, not to get upset, because they don't have a foundation. And what I meant was, like, they don't rely on Christ to get by every day. They rely on themselves or whatever else they believe in. So they don't really have a foundation. So that's what it sounds like to me.
So being built on the rock is equivalent to following the words of God, right? The words of Jesus specifically he's talking about here. But the teachings that come from God, when we're following those, that's the rock. Okay? We're in a world that doesn't see things quite the same way that the scriptures do, right? Can you think of any subject areas where our culture has a different opinion from what the scriptures teach?
Entertainment?
Politics?
Government? What was that?
Government.
What else?
Relationships?
Mm. Okay. Sex? All right, we can say that word in here. All right. Honesty. There's just lots of things that are okay. You know, vocabulary, profanity. Okay, there's a lot of things that are okay in the world around us, but we find that the scriptures don't line up with those things. And so, when he talks about the rain coming down, the streams rising, winds blowing and beating against the house, How does the rock, so what are those ingredients, those events correspond to in your life? So, Chelsea.
Hard times, like challenges.
Hard times and challenges. You think you'll have some of those in the next 42 years?
The next 42 minutes.
I say it kind of speaks like the buildup. Because rain first, rain falls, then the stream grows, and the winds blow. It's kind of like a buildup of when it really gets to the point of like you're about to lose your mind and slam your head through a wall. You know, where's your foundation? That's where it's really going to show.
And like the next couple of verses, if we kept going and talk about if it's built on sand, it's going to blow away, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to wash away. It'll fall down with a crash. So. We just had a hurricane in eastern North Carolina, okay, in eastern South Carolina. A lot of houses proved out this scripture. My mom's house is in Jacksonville, and it's a nice, strong brick house, and it's still standing. Nothing, according to our neighbor, we haven't seen it yet. According to the neighbor who called us, says it looks just normal. So a well-built house withstood a hurricane. Okay, it had rain, streams, wind, it had all these things. But there's a lot of houses that didn't. It had to do with where they were built, what they were built on, were they too low of a, too close to the floodplain and all that. But how does that correspond to following the scriptures? So again, I mentioned the difference between what the world believes about a lot of this stuff and what the scriptures teach. So you might have that wind blowing against you saying, oh, come on, this is, we really ought to do things the way the world wants to do them. We really ought to, it's just, this is the 21st century. This is not, the first century. And so things that mattered then don't matter now, or we're wiser now. We know that things should be done differently now. There's all kinds of pressures and wind and influences trying to pull us away. If we're built on sand, those influences are going to pull us away from where we were trying to be and from where God wanted us to be. So the scriptures are your anchor. They're your foundation. That's what's going to keep you stable. As you go through your 40 years, 40, 50, 60, you're going to look back. And when somebody tests one of these teachings, you can go back to the scriptures and say, no, I know what the scripture says. And so I know it came from God and it's truth. And even though it's not popular, I'm going to stand on what the scripture says. Because what's popular is you go the way the winds blow. Right? So this is a memory. Actually, this one's not in memory verse yet. It will be. But it's not this way. So it's black. It's black. See, let me just show you blue. That's blue. That one's black. Okay. So that's all about building your house. So building your house spiritually. How do you build it? What are you doing? What are you going to do to build your spiritual life?
Build your faith.
Say?
Build your faith.
Build your faith? How are you going to build your faith?
Pressing on Jesus and trying your best to just trust Jesus when those winds and storms actually come.
Yeah. It's not easy. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Does anybody know where faith comes from? What the Bible says, where you get it from?
That's in Romans.
Hearing.
Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the Bible produces faith. And so if you want to have greater faith, you need to spend more time in the Bible. It will persuade you. It will convince you. It will give you confidence. So if you want to have a house that's going to stand up in the storms, if you want to know 40 years from now that you're still going to be practicing the Bible, you're going to be practicing what God wants you to do, you need to know it. That's how, if you don't know it, you will be destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? So it's important to know the scriptures. It's one thing to say, okay, I like this group of people. I enjoy these people. We talk about God. We sing songs about God. And I like that. It's another thing to say,
I want a relationship with God. I want to know what pleases Him, and I want to build my life on that. Right? So I want to make sure that our life is built on something more solid than this group of people, because 20 years from now, you probably won't know where all these people live anymore, right? One of the things Wyndham Shaw used to talk to us about in campus, he says, what are you going to do if I fall away? What are you going to do if I leave? Are you still going to follow? We used to sing a song, I guess you guys sing it too. I have decided to follow Jesus. Okay. No turning back. We say, though none go with me, still I will follow. Okay, though none go with me. Is that true for you? If none go with you, will you still follow? How will you know that you're following? It won't be because the people around you are telling you you're doing the right thing. The only way you're going to know is if you're building your house on the rock, on the scriptures. Okay? So if the other people go astray, are you going to go astray? Okay. And, you know, my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus, if that's 42 years or 50 or 60 or whatever it is. So we're talking about the long haul here. The world behind me, the cross before me, and all this. That verse, that song, essentially, they sang that devotional that first night I went to church. And that song pretty much converted me. Like, that's what I want to do. And so, you know, I had to learn a few other things. But it was like, I checked myself in my mind that night, singing that song, really. So that's a challenge for y'all. So the design of this course then is we're going to study the book of Acts. We're going to be branching out into related scriptures to fill out some of those things. There's going to be scripture memory, and there's going to be tests. Those tests will take a lot of different forms. Next week, you can count on, I'm going to say, who knows the memory verses? And hopefully there will be hands going up, and you will be one of them. And you'll get people who go up, put their hand up first, get to pick which verse they're going to quote. And then if you're the last one, you have to quote the one that's left. Okay. But it's five verses. It's five verses. So this is within, well within your reach. You're smart people. You wouldn't be in college, if you weren't.
I copied six.
So I think it's five.
The first one was 2 Timothy 3:16.
There you go. 17. That's the list right there.
Take a picture of that real quick, bro.
Yeah, it's 16:17.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I call that one scripture. That's one scripture. Yeah, those two verses. It's one thought. Trust me, there's some of them that's going to be longer than that. They're going to get longer than that. You're going to learn eventually you'll learn the Lord's Prayer, which is longer than that. There's some others. Now, let me show you some tools, Bible study tools. First off, let me just hear, what do y'all use? What kind of tools, online or on your computer, on your phone, or on paper? What do you use?
A journal?
Yeah. Use a journal that you basically write. And what do you write in your journal?
Scriptures that stand out, like what I read from those scriptures, and just
okay. Okay, so as you're reading the Bible, you're writing it in the journal, okay? That could be a paper journal. Is yours a paper journal? Mm-hmm. Okay, it could be a paper journal. It could also be a notes you take on your computer, on your phone. A lot of ways to do that. What else?
Are you asking to help memorize or just in our regular studies?
I'm talking about all, what other tools to learn the Bible?
A pen and a highlighter. And I scribble in my Bible all the time.
Okay, yep. And then
note cards.
Note cards. That's old school. Oh, yeah. That's how we memorize scripture. Yeah. Old school.
How old are you?
Yes.
OpenBible.org.
OpenBible.org. And what do you get there?
So, like, for example, if you, say you're having a problem with anger, you can type OpenBible.org and go into the search bar and type anger. And you'll find, 100 verses on it.
Okay.
Great. A concordance.
It's like a topical Bible. It brings it all together. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. Anybody else? Yes.
I've used a concordance before. I like to search up words and where they're found in different scriptures and different ways
of reading. Okay, so
to a concordance, you know, telling you where are the other places this word has been used. That's a great way to, if you want to understand what this word means, look at the other places where the same Greek word was used and look at the context there. And that, it's a great study tool. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead, Sherry.
Well, I don't use this, but I know you do. It's Esword.
Yeah, I'm going to show them that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
That's my Bible talk for it. That's okay. You know, Esword. Yeah. You get, you know, perk your interest. What is Esword?
Harmony of the Gospels.
Harmony of the Gospels. Okay. So tell us about it. What's the Harmony of the Gospels?
The Harmony of the Gospels, I've studied the Bible many times and never became a disciple, so this is not my first time. And they continually tell me to start off with your walk with Jesus. Go to the Gospels. And so the Harmony of the Gospels is what one scripture says in Matthew 4 might be in Mark, but in chapter 7. So the Harmony of the Gospels breaks it down to what scriptures or what events happen in what scriptures according.
Yeah. There's been a lot of people that have done what's called a Harmony of the Gospels. One of the first ones done in Greek was called the Diatessaron, which was in the 2nd century. But there's been a lot of them done. What it is you take all the gospel accounts and you try to interleave them into one chronological event, narrative, one chronological narrative. And so there is one that has been done. This one's like 150 years old now, or 100 and something years old, by a man named J.W. McGarvey. You're going to hear his name again before the day's over. J.W. McGarvey. You know, and he's got a commentary that goes along with his Harmony of the Gospels. He calls it the fourfold gospel. But it kind of, you know, it's very useful study material for understanding what was going on when Jesus said this, and how does this fit in with the other things in his life, you know. So very, very useful kind of a tool. I'm going to give you a tool or offer you a tool. This is a free app for your phone. It's available for iPhones and Androids. And it's called Remember Me. And what it is a Bible scripture memory tool. Okay. Since I'm going to be giving you guys a ton of scriptures to memorize, I am obviously going to have to memorize them too, right? And most of these are scriptures I've memorized before, but I have to refresh myself. So I'm using this. Okay. So you can install this guy. You can find it on the App Store. This is on the Android App Store, the one I'm showing. And when you install it and you open it, you can basically come in here and add. Let me see if I can point this way. So, yeah. So you come over here and say, I want to add a verse. And then when you want to add a verse, I don't need to use the remote for this. It'll bring you to this screen where you can enter the Ephesians 4:30. You can give it a basically a type, a group, or I put mine in different groups for different chapters. But then you get to pick whatever translation off of a long list of translations that you want to memorize from. And then you click up here, and it brings into this area, brings in the actual text of that that scripture. So you don't have to type it in. You don't have to write it by hand on your note cards. And then it has some cool, I guess that's the only screenshot I got. But it'll give you some different ways to rehearse it. It'll play them for you. So let's see if I can get this to do it real quick. So I've got the first week's scriptures here.
Psalm 119:11.
I have
hidden
your
word in my heart that I might
sin
against you.
So it sounds a little British, right?
Yes.
I like the British accent reading my
scriptures.
I can show you how to do that if you want.
What's the name again?
This is called Remember Me.
It's a very sad
Bible memory.
Mine's free.
Mine's out.
Remember Me. Well, Remember Me is the name of the app. It may be the name of. I think it's the name of the song. It's the name of the
talk. It's a movie with Edward Cullen.
Oh, well, this ain't free. I think that's nothing to do with
it. I know. Anyone who has an iPhone, it's not free.
What's his name?
The iPhone is costing money.
Yeah, it costs money.
Let's talk about a minute about Bible versions.
I ain't got the $2.
What Bible versions do y'all use? What are some of the versions that y'all prefer to use?
NIV, ESV.
NIV, ESV.
KJV.
AKJV.
AKJV.
NLT.
That's all I know.
ACS.
Okay, so what I want to show you here, and I'm going to come over here so I can point you. This is what they call a Bible translation, a Bible translation continuum. So from left to the right, the ones on the left are the most literal, word-for-word translations. So it's interlinear. It's a Greek Bible with English correspondence to each word. So word-for-word exactly, precisely. Okay? Very hard to read, but very precise. On the far right, this is somebody read the Greek and said, this is what I think it means. So it's what they call thought for thought. They said this, and so you get the message. Well, it sounds really folksy or contemporary, but it's what somebody thinks it means. Right? So you've got all these different versions in between. Here's NIV. That was mentioned. It's kind of in the middle, maybe a little bit towards the thought for thought. ESV is pretty far over here towards word for word. New American Standard Bible is one of the more literal ones, word for word. King James is on that end. When I first became a Christian, there was no NIV. They came out with the first NIV the first one that I had access to, that I saw. It was a New Testament only in 1977. They have since pulled that off the market and put out the 1984 version. And then pulled that off the market and put out the 2011?
Yeah.
Okay. But since I've learned all my verses from 1977 on, basically in the NIV, that's what you see up here. Most of these scriptures are, in fact, all these scriptures are coming from NIV from 1984. Because that's what sounds right to me. That's what's going to come out of my mouth if I'm talking, okay? Because that's just what I've had all these years. If I was starting over, I would use a different one, okay? Particularly for scripture memory. I would recommend, you want to have more than one translation you're using, okay? And you might want to have one that's more easy reading, and another one that's more precise for study. And you want to look at a couple of them, maybe even more than a couple. If there's anything squirrely about it, anything, you know, I'm not sure what this means. You'll find, particularly, you know, in the NIV, later on when we get to it, I'll be showing you some things in the NIV that I think are just wrong. And I think their translation was done wrong. And you can even find in some of these cases when they came out with the NIV 11, 2011, they corrected it. So they decided it was wrong too. Okay, but you can kind of find that out by looking at different translations. And it's healthy to be reading different translations. But for memory, I recommend staying on the left-hand side. So those are the ones I would recommend. Pick something in there to memorize from. Okay, I think most of you are in that group. You may have maybe a few translations you're using that are not listed on this screen. This screen actually came from the Christian Standard Bible, CSB, Psych. They put that right in the middle because they think theirs is the best balance. But that's actually an update of the Holman Christian Standard Bible, HCSB. And I think it's an improvement over the HCSB. It helps to know the mindset of the translators when you're picking one. But it's a good balance. But ESV, you can't beat that for accuracy, really. Although I would read another one too. I would never rely on just one translation. And if you start finding discrepancies between two of them, then you need to dig. Then you might actually go to an interlinear and say, why are they doing this differently? And after you look at the interlinear, you may say, I guess that could be either way, or I don't know. Sometimes you have to look at the context. But for memorization, I would pick one of them inside that yellow highlighted circle. Does that make sense? Y'all have a favorite in there you would like to use? So basically, if you want to, did everybody know, are y'all going to use this?
I am.
Some of them are and some of them aren't.
Yes.
It's useful. I prefer it over note cards. I learned all the verses I learned back in the day with note cards. Of course, we didn't have smartphones and laptops and things like that. So that's that. But while we're here, let me show you Esort.
What is that?
This is, if you see me with my laptop in church, what you'll see, let me do it this way.
Like Windows XP.
You're going to see, this is Windows, yeah. You're going to see this. And over here are the scriptures. These are all the different translations I've got loaded on my laptop. And then over here is where I'm taking notes. So right now, these were the notes from the family group leader meeting on Sunday. Okay, so I'm taking notes. I got the scriptures right next to it. He calls out a scripture, and I can type in the verse, and it gives me a little pop up there. I can read it without having to turn to it here. So, but the cool thing about this, it goes well beyond having all the. Oh, for one thing, let me just show this.
What's the name of the software?
It's E-Sword. You go to e-sword.net. It's free.
Okay.
It's free. So what you see right here is comparing all the different translations for that verse that I've got picked, which is Acts 1:1 right now. This one is in Creole. When I was in Haiti, I had Creole Bible loaded on here. I think that's right.
Yeah, that looks Creole.
And, I don't even know for sure. But some of these I've bought, and some of these are free. So one of the things you get here is the Strong's numbers. So I can look in King James, I can move my highlighter over there, and it tells me the Greek word, gives me a definition of it. I can then take that G4413, and I can search for it and find all the other verses that use that same Greek word in the Bible.
This is only available to be used on PCs and laptops, or you can...
The eSword program is only available on Windows. You can actually make it work on Linux if you run Linux.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a ordeal, but it can be done. It's easier than it used to be. There are similar programs available on pretty much every platform. I use eSword. I've used it for years. I've actually taught courses on it where people would bring their laptops to my basement and we would install it on everybody's computers and teach them how to use it. So anyway, I'm not going to go into a lot on this. I do want to show you one other thing, which is the commentaries. I'm going to do that. And now I've got commentaries over here. So if I go back to my NIV 84 and I go to, let's say verse 4. And what he shows you over here, there are comments on verse 4 of Acts 1:4. And every one of these little blue eye marks, these icons, that says that it's a different commentary raising his hand and say, I have something to say about that verse. You know, and you can go through and look at all those commentaries and see what they have to say about Acts 1:4. Okay? So all the study materials you could need for a lifetime, really, right here. And most all of it's free. Some of it's hard to find. I can help you with some of that. But a lot of it you just download right here. Download Bibles, commentaries, dictionaries, devotionals. There's graphics. There's, you have things like timeline of the kings of Israel, things like that. Reference books. You know, you might find Josephus, the Wars of the Jews. You can download that and read it right here. And, of course, you can get updates to yourself. So anyway, I show you eSword, eSword.net. If you want more about that, I can help you with that. But like I said, there's tons of ways to do
this. 6 to 7.
Whoa.
I think we're going to stop here at questions and answers, and then we'll start with chapter 1 in our next class.